And you? When will you begin that long journey into yourself? This is something told by Rumi. A film that holds a perfect mirror to this is Imtiaz Ali's Tamasha. Hey everyone, welcome to the Intellectual Masturbation Podcast. So in this episode, we are going to discuss the philosophy of the film Tamasha. And joining me is Rajnikant. Hey Rajnikant.
Hey Sagar.
So why don't you tell me what's your favorite song from this film?
Alright, so I remember you recommending this movie a while ago when it had released.
Yeah.
And there was this one particular song that was garnering a lot of attention, which goes Tum Saath Ho. And the lyrics fit perfectly well into the existential narrative. The lyrics say, Tum Saath Ho Ya Na Ho Kya Fark Hai?
Yeah.
Bedard Ki Zindagi Bedard
Hai.
Now it tells you about this character who is stuck in this life where he feels nothing is worth it and nothing can get him out of it. That no matter how much he tries, what manner he tries, life will always be painful and hurtful for him. So much so that he believes even love cannot get him out of this. And he says so to his beloved that, you know, your presence doesn't matter in my life because it's going to be painful anyway, right?
Yeah. So these lines you have just mentioned, like, reminded me of something. When you listen to this song carefully, actually these lines are, like, you know, sung in two ways. One, a very high-pitched manner, and one, a very low-pitched and calm and composed manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the high-pitched one almost signifies as if he's shouting and he's angry and his agony and everything.
Mm.
And the low-pitched one is calm, composed, and a loving person who has accepted this, you know, saintly truth of life.
Mm.
Or you hear this, you know, intertwined version of this two lines almost.
Yeah.
That is something which makes this song special. And that is the great music of this film, actually.
Mm.
Which, in a way, it contributes in a lot in the storytelling of this film.
Right.
We'll start with Matagasti, where, you know, this guy is like, it's some sort of a European dance music, a sing-song kind of a thing. There in Corsica, he's a different person in itself. Tell me something about his character.
Alright, so yeah, the character, the protagonist, Wade, I mean, he reminds me of Sisyphus.
Yeah.
Now, Sisyphus is a great, yeah, is an ancient Greek character who was cursed with the fact that he had to push a rock up the mountain every day for the rest of his life. Now, this was taken up by Albert Camus as well, and he brought it as the condition of the modern man. Now, Wade is something like that, isn't he? He's
yeah.
going through the motions of life, which is causing him a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, and he's not able to do anything to escape it, right?
The worst part about it is that, you know, this guy knows that, you know, whatever he's doing is going futile.
Hmm.
And yet he's continuing to do this thing. That builds up that anger or frustration within this guy.
Absolutely. And that awareness, that consciousness, yes, it
yeah.
does multiply exponentially your pain, your hurt, being aware that you are living this existential life and you have no way out of it, just like Sisyphus. So you were telling me a little about what happens when he goes to that island and how he might have ended up there. That's a different Wade we see, don't we?
Yeah. Again, like, talking about this Wade we see in the island, and we don't know him as Wade in the island, do we? He calls himself as Don.
Absolutely. I mean,
and he assumes this sort of a persona, his extroverted and a different persona when he is on a vacation, because there is no one, you know, who knows him or his language.
Mm.
But when he first sees Tara, he kind of, you know, like, gets, like, into his mold again, sort of, in a way. But seeing that, you know, even this girl is open to, like, you know, keeping things like this and everything,
and
they tell about themselves is there was lies and only lies and they'll not meet again.
Mm-hmm.
He lets his guard down.
Yeah. I mean, he's in a different world out there in the island. That's how we are introduced to this character. That's the way the movie draws you in, doesn't it?
Yeah, and after seeing the second half of the film, I'm pretty sure this taking this vacation might not be necessarily his idea. He maybe wasn't that guy, you know, into this so-called corporate philosophy of, you know, work hard, party harder types. Somebody would have, like, told him this thing, or he would have seen this thing on Twitter. Again, like, simultaneously, if you like look at things, quitting your jobs and taking up something as a full-time, following your passion, was a trend which was almost picking up during those times.
Mm.
So this film also portrays this, whatever is happening in the society.
Yeah, it could very well have.
Yeah.
And remember those scenes when he's monologuing?
Yeah.
In the mirror, and the epiphanies he has during those times. Tell me a little about that.
The mirror is actually used as a metaphor over here. Again, mm-hmm. people have multiple interpretations about it, but this is a very Imtiaz Ali thing, you know. All mm-hmm. his characters have a moment or two in his film with a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
We have this guy Majnu looking into the broken mirror from Laila Majnu. We have many scenes like this throughout his films, in Jab Ve Main Shahid Kapoor looking into the mirror and all these things. So over here, I think it can be interpreted as this guy's duality.
Mm-hmm.
He is there in the center, and there is one reflection of his to his right and one reflection of his to his left.
Mm.
And he is like, you know, kind of having a hard time to choose which one he is.
Mm.
The song Tu Koi Aur Hai symbolizes it pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
It is that internal journey within him, and you know, his realization and his consciousness speaking to him.
Right, about this other guy thing.
Yeah.
His escape into the island could be a notion of escapism, that he's trying to escape that world of his and trying to be who he wants to be. And this is a constant struggle throughout the movie. He's trying a little to get away from that life, but he isn't able to, no matter what he does. Which is why this life becomes even more painful until Tara comes into his life. How does that change things?
I mean, Tara is someone who makes this guy realize, you know, different sort of a person all in itself. Mm-hmm. But she thinks that, you know, he is genuinely this sort of a person.
Yeah.
But when she meets her after a lot of time, again, it is, I don't know what to call that. That's a chance meeting or stalking. I don't know what to call that. Mm-hmm. So when she gets there and meets him, he's actually a snob. He's a different person in itself.
Yeah.
And she tells him openly that, you know, she is in love with some other person, not him. And this guy couldn't handle that fact.
Mm. And that other person was actually he himself.
Yeah.
His other guy, or his whatever, his alter ego, maybe.
Yeah. Again, people interpret this guy has a bipolar disorder or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This adds one more, like, you know, psychological layer to this character.
Yeah, but to me, it's more than a bipolar disorder. It seems to me this guy wanting to play these different characters, which fits in perfectly with the passion that he has in life, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, if you look at him, like, we rant in our lives when we are frustrated, and this guy is going into this sort of monologuing. His monologue in his office, where he says, you know, like, Malik main naukar hoon aapka.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a bit more or less like, you know, Shakespeare's Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow in Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is all those, you know, that is this guy's creative spirit. That is this guy's storyteller in him speaking. And in a way, if you look at this film and the message it wants to give out, or the way it treats its characters, it is almost like, again, a callback to Shakespeare, all the world's a stage.
Yeah.
And this song Chali Kahani, which is a very like stage play kind of a thing, very operatic in nature.
Yes, yes.
Tells this thing. Again, it also questions these notions like, you know, why the same story always?
Mm.
It questions the mundane, and it tells us to, you know, find something profound in the mundane.
Absolutely. It basically tells us to find meaning in this life, why to live it like the rest of us without a purpose. To actually find a purpose, that's how you're living, apparently.
And so you were telling me something about this guy being the actor in his real life.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have passions in our life, don't we?
Yeah.
And these passions, actually, in his case, Ved's case, started at a very young age, wherein he finds this storyteller who makes him passionate about acting, who makes him passionate about storytelling. And it's almost as if, because he was forced to not take up that profession, that he channelizes those energies, those passions in his real life.
Yeah.
Becoming another guy in an island, or monologuing to his boss, being another guy, the Malik Nagar thing you said. It's almost like his, like as if because he wasn't able to follow his passion there.
So you're saying he brought his theatrics into his life?
I'm saying he brought his passion into his life.
Yeah.
In another way. He channelized it in a different way.
Yeah.
And when that was suppressed for a long time, he became this mundane character. And yeah, at the end of the day, that was what made him escape it, accepting that passion and actually going forward and doing something about it. So it wasn't love. It wasn't success in his job, but it was purely following his passion of acting and storytelling that got him out of his crisis.
Again, since his young age, if you look at this guy, he is a very, you know, empathetic kind of a guy. He keeps asking the storyteller, what happened next? What happened next? And the storyteller is very, I don't know, he looks to me like some sort of a metaphor to Homer, who is a blind poet.
Yeah,
who wrote two of the greatest epics the Western world has ever known, Iliad and the Odyssey.
Yeah.
And he is just mixing up myths and delivering stories to this guy. And one day, finally, when he couldn't get anywhere in his life, he goes to this guy and asks, you know, tell me my story.
Yeah, he's asking him what will happen in my life.
Yeah.
And we tell him,
will the same thing happen? Will this thing keep repeating itself? He says, apni kahani mujhse puchega. Yeah.
And that's what the point of the movie is, that, isn't it?
In a way, trying to push you, you know, to tell your own story and to write your own story.
To make your own life, to make your own story. Absolutely. That's the point this movie is trying to drive at, through with. But it's not like, you know, you'll realize it on your own.
Yeah.
What makes him question it? He is living in the mundane. When Tara finds him back from the island in his job, I mean, he seems pretty happy with it. And not happy, but used to it.
Yeah.
He's used to the mundane. So what drives him to be aware of it, to be aware that he's in this mundane, and he wants to create that want of getting out of it? What do you think created that? Or who do you think created that?
See, I'd give the credit to Tara, because she kind of, you know, like threw a light in that direction. Again, I can also say she is the one who gave this guy existential crisis. He is perfectly fine with his mundane life. She, you know, revealing this thing that, you know, tu koi aur hai. Phir mujhe kisi aur se pyar ho gaya. You know, telling that, you know, she loved someone else, that too, the guy within him. He is someone, you know, who breaks into all these filmy and kind of B-grade-ish lines with her in conversation in Corsica. And when they have dinner at that sushi restaurant, he says, you know, nowadays companies are the new countries and countries are the new companies. He says lines like these, which he would have probably heard in some sort of an advertisement or something. He's basically trying to, you know, seek her approval and everything, which he never did earlier in that vacation period.
Yeah, and during that first date back in his job with Tara, it's why Tara goes through all this is, I feel that she was thinking that perhaps he's playing another character here.
Yeah, maybe.
Reality was.
Yeah.
But she thinks that that other guy who was in the island would one day come back.
Again, maybe you see Tara shifting her professions too. Even she isn't pretty happy. Here to badi sad hai. Yeah. So this tells a bit about her also. Yeah. I mean, the question of them, whether they ended up together in life or not, I don't even want to get there, but she is definitely someone whom this guy will respect for life.
Absolutely. I mean, they both love each other.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if they get together or not, because that's not the point of the story. The conflict is this guy getting a sense of his life, finding a purpose to his life.
This guy discovering himself.
Absolutely. And Tara helps him get that. And no one can ever forget such a person.
Yeah.
Who makes your life meaningful, which Tara does here. In a way, she is, I mean, her name itself seems like a metaphor. His passion was always there with him.
Yeah.
It wasn't Ved's Wade's passion
was always there with him. It is just that she threw a light at him, that, you know, that people coming to an island guided by a star or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's metaphorical. She's Tara. She's the star who guided him to meaning in his life, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, a few allusions over here, thrown here and there, that Joseph Heller's novel Catch-22 and Tara coming there with Asterix comic book. Tell what sorts of people they are. In a way, you know, they both of them are there to discover parts of themselves which were left undiscovered. Even Tara's life is a pretty corporate, but again, she is comfortable with that. And she realizes that she is that person, that very person, and she is happy with her life. But Wade clearly isn't. When she notices this thing, she quickly points it out to him. And she is not someone, you know, who would want to be treated like in a bad manner. And when this guy was like, you know, turning out to be toxic, she just leaves him and gives him the space to discover himself.
Yeah.
And fight with himself.
And he does that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets out of it eventually. But my question is, what brought him into this? What was the reason for this existential crisis of his? There's clearly one. I want you to say it.
What got him into this existential crisis?
Yeah, I mean, what made him go for that corporate job and not his own passion?
Again, like the education system, I feel like he was pushed into it. He was pushed into the system.
He asked
his father, like, you know, he has different passions and he wants to pursue something different, but he was pushed into it. He goes all the way to his college crying and crying.
Yeah.
His childhood experiences and everything and everything. Deep down, he is still this empathetic man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has to do it.
That empathetic man has been crushed by society somewhere low inside himself. And he's not able to rekindle that for a long moment. Till, obviously, when he meets this woman.
And not only this woman, there is another person who adds this, you know, who pushes this guy.
Okay.
The Autowala, if you remember him. The Autowala he talks to. And that is my favorite song in the film. Vat, vat, vat. He breaks into the monologue in the middle of this song.
Okay.
And this Autowala says to him, you know, he came to the city because he wanted to become a singer. But he couldn't. So that is again a sort of a dream sequence to both this singer guy and this guy who wants to become a storyteller.
Yeah.
That song is like one of the beautiful songs I've ever seen. This guy singing in all those UP accent. And this man just throwing out the inner beast. Again, the good sort of a beast, the tamed beast outside for the first time to the world.
Yeah. And this song and dance sequence that is a major chunk of the way this plot is taken up, that's what makes this movie unique, isn't it? It's not a regular plot line that goes in other movies.
Yeah.
It's a different take that Imtiaz Ali has taken here. I mean, a lot of people don't agree with it, me being one of them. I mean, I didn't enjoy those sequences, but what about you?
I enjoyed those sequences because that this whole film and the way these song and dances, these theaters, these interior monologues and everything was set out on us. It was very poetic in nature.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it does.
Again, you're not someone who is into this, you know, romanticism and everything. So probably it is not for these people. But again, Jannat ka haqeeqat maloom hai hame.
Par dil behla lene ko ye khayal.
Achha lagta hai.
Right, but you're right in the fact that this is the general theme of the movie. Song, dance, characters, storytelling. So in a way, it's a part of that storytelling through that songs and dances, isn't it?
And in a way, he's also telling that, you know, your life is no less than your common mundane life is no less than the epic, and your fight is no less than the fight of a hero or the battle of a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. That gives a certain purpose to you as well, you know. It makes you good, feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Adds a different layer of meaning to your life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what this movie does to all of us. I mean, whether it will strike you, won't it? It will make you question your life choices, and it will make you perhaps rekindle your old passions.
Yeah.
See if you can work them around and turn your life around if you're not enjoying it at the moment. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful purpose that a movie can have.
Again, like, I just want to tell a personal story. I just went to watch this film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the theater was full of couples and I was the only single guy in the room. All of them were crying in the film. And I was the one who was like really enjoying the film. It gave me some sort of a purpose in life, and which got me to, you know, taking up my passion as a subject in college. And here we are talking in this podcast.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So... I think that's it I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You have any concluding remarks?
No, I think that's a beautiful thing to conclude this at.
Yeah. So, I don't know, like, there's not some sort of a message, but just something I want to just put it out to the universe. You know, don't go by this Indian concept of avkar.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost you to dream. Just buy the dream. Use your Indian jugaad and negotiate with it later. Just because you are not, you know, nothing is happening with you right now doesn't mean nothing will happen with you. There is something which will happen with you, and you have to make that thing happen. That's it I want to say. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening.
Thank you guys. See you in the next podcast.